Thou art saved.
The living room's dark, save for light being cast from the big TV screen and the imminent sunrise that's teasing the one starry sky with whispers of morning.
Lions.
Hey, George.
Is it going? I'm in your home.
You are in my home.
I am.
We are awkwardly positioned around my kitchen table.
It is true. And I think that that calls for a forecast of doom.
God. So have you ever been as disappointed in getting what you wanted out of election results? Because this is the one I wanted.
Yeah.
Like everybody, I was like, vote for doom. I want doom. And then we got it. And I was like, what?
Yeah. No. I mean, never have I not wanted something so much and never known until I received it. Like, it was just kind of like, no, I mean, to be fair, out of all of the ones that were on the board, this one still may be the best worst one or the worst best one. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I'm never totally sure what the vocabulary is for a thing that's so
the best
bad,
of a bad
good
subset.
Yes. Like, I don't, do we use the positive word in this case? The negative, it doesn't matter. Because it's a bad movie. But it's not all bad. It's just about 85% bad.
It's true. No, I mean, in all honesty, you don't need to really watch this movie. You just need to go onto YouTube and watch the one part that you remember being good, and the rest of it is awful. And speaking of, top of the hour visuals, and unlike the movie, which spends 90 minutes before it gives you what you want, we're going to start off by discussing the one visual that everybody wants to talk about, because we're better people than the people that made this movie.
Yeah, there's no reason to spend 90 minutes getting to this part.
No. So the one visual that is by far and away the most iconic and definitely the most doom is just the ending. Like, right at the end, when he wakes up and looks at himself in the mirror, and then it's first-person shooter, that is amazing.
Yes, and they, I swear to God, and I actually checked the time, like, it's 90 minutes into the movie, not that scene. That scene is like about 100 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 90 minutes into the movie when the movie remembers it's not a horror movie and mm-hmm. that it's an action movie based on an action game. And you can tell because in that scene, everything is brightly lit. You can tell what's going on.
Yep.
You can see the gun. You can see the monsters. You can see all the gore. Like, it's like they fired the director, but then didn't reshoot all of the scenes that director had filmed. And they were like, we'll ship it. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing, is that the tone completely shifts. And I think that does speak to one of the points, which is that Doom was never a horror game.
Nope.
I mean, it's 100% about empowerment.
They tried once. I think Doom 3 was a lot
boogier. Mm.
But it's still, they like immediately abandoned that. Like,
yeah.
They did it for like one game.
Exactly. No, because there's like Doom was all about just running and gunning. And I mean, it was basically what canonized the first person shooter. And then Doom 2 like canonized what Doom was, which was just, it was just more of the same. It was just running and just killing demons.
Yeah.
You know?
They literally could have called it Doom again.
Yeah.
Because it's just, did you like Doom? This is more of that. We tweaked a few things, but it's almost identical.
Exactly. And then Doom 3 is fine, whatever. And then Doom 2016 was absolutely a return to form. And this, I think, unfortunately came out in like that weird muddling middle ground where Doom wasn't sure what Doom wanted to be. And I think it wanted to be Resident Evil. It's not Resident Evil.
Which, now that I think on it, is doubly hilarious because the Doom games are all about empowerment and, like, you are the super marine.
Yes.
Who's going to literally stop the tide of hell.
Yes.
From washing over humanity.
You're the hero of time.
Yes. Yeah. Almost. Yes. You do wear green.
Uh-huh.
But in the movie, for the first half of the movie, like, 90% of my notes are just like, it's so dark, I can't see what's going on. Like,
yep.
I kept turning the brightness up on the screen we were watching on. Like, I just couldn't tell what the hell was going on. And it's all for like lazy jump scares. It's all for cheap, like, boogie monsters, like, jumping out at you, which is not what the Doom games are about. Resident Evil is an incredibly brightly lit, the movies are like incredibly brightly lit, colorful action romps where the main character has literal superpowers because she's like, she's what I think they were trying to do with the clones and, like, make a genetic superhuman.
She's the fifth element.
Yes. Yeah. she's like the perfect, you know, person kind of thing. But those games are super dark, muddy horror games.
Hmm.
So I think when you say, like, oh, they wanted it to be Resident Evil, it's like, yes, But also Resident Evil was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, so they both somehow just their scripts got switched in production or something. Like, it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And that does lead nicely into the fact that, yes, all of the first 90 minutes of it is, and we can get to this more in plot, but just rife with backstory that we don't need.
Don't care about.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't need, I mean, what is the history of Doom Guy? He's just, I mean, he doesn't even have a name. He's Doom Guy.
Doom Guy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, there is a fan theory, which I 100% ascribe to, which is that he is Link from The Legend of Zelda.
This is a thing?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
Oh, yes. No, and actually, it's pretty well substantiated because, like, they're both silent protagonists. They both, you know, like, there's no Master Sword anymore, but they're both, like, fighting against hell. Both wear green armor. But most importantly, and the thing that sold me on it was, if you look at the... was it UAC, like Corp?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Whatever, Hell Corp.
Yeah, Hell Corp. The one trying to mine Hell energy or whatever they're up to these days. It's the Triforce. Like, yeah. So no, I was super sold on that. But anyways, like, yeah, no, it's Doom Guy. There's no, you don't need these like super intricate character backstories. And so they did it, I guess, to make you invest on these people that you know are going to die. Like,
yeah,
you know, nobody's gonna survive this thing. And like you said, like all the visuals are super dark, and it's like. Oh, this thing jumped out at me. Oh, now we got to, like, wait for it. And actually, this speaks to the fact that, like, the tension and release cycle is way off.
Yes.
Because the thing is that, like, it should be, like, build tension, and release. But the problem is that cycle time should be, like, maybe, especially in a movie like this, if you wanted to do a horror movie, like, maybe 5 minutes. But, like, 20 minutes of just, like, no, we got to, like, re-baseline. We got to have a bunch of, like, weird Christian mythology, which we'll get into later. But yeah, it's just so they had all these super dark visuals in support of that, but we didn't need that.
Nope. And there's a lot of that backstory in, because there's scenes where things are like okay, right? Because they're in like the part of the lab that's like under quarantine, but not.
Yeah.
And everything there is like well lit and everything's fine. But they they have all these little character moments where you can tell what they're trying to do, which is like, oh, they don't want you to like this guy so that when he dies, it's like super satisfying. And they want you to like this guy so that when he dies, it's super sad. And this guy, they want you to be kind of unsure about, so you have to like form your own opinions. But actually, they're all terrible people.
Yes.
They're just varying levels of terrible. And they have all of these little scenes with the blonde guy, who I'm just going to call the rapist because he's a rapist.
Yes, he is.
So, like, blonde rapist guy.
Well, he's the worst rapist.
Yes, he's
cabal of rapists.
Yes, he's the most weirdly okay with being a rapist of the rapist. So he has, like, all these scenes in the, like, they go into, like, a sewer water reclaim thing. There, he goes into the bathroom to, like, phone for help against orders. And, like, he has all these scenes where he's lit like the Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
And it's like how does he know to add even more creepy tension to his lines by like allowing him to be like side lit or like, or to be like lit from beneath, like he's doing a campfire story. And it's just, it's all of these creepy visuals on him. And it's like, if he had turned out to be the villain,
right.
I'd be like, oh, that's why they made him such a creep. Cause like, it turns out he's the villain. And that's why like everywhere he went was like dark and foreboding, so that when you saw him, you associated it with like this dark and foreboding, but like, there's none of that.
Nope. It's dies just, on the shitter.
Yeah. Dies on the shitter. It's just, it's just dark and muddy for no reason. That's not the aesthetic of the game. That's not the aesthetic of the good part of the movie. It's like they just have all of this dark, muddy setup for 90 freaking minutes, and then they just completely abandon it. The first person scene is super well lit, super Doom feeling.
Yeah.
And then the big fight with the Rock is, I mean, it's weird blue light, but it's like super well lit. Like, you could see everything because it's a, you know, kung fu fight scene, so they have to like light it so that you can see what's happening. It's just, it's so weird. It's like, there's even a scene where the characters turn the light on in a hallway.
Yep.
As if they had forgotten up until that moment that they could just turn the lights on, and then they never do it again.
No. And at one point, you know, one of them kind of has a throwaway line of them like attempting to justify it, where he's just kind of like, one of the characters is talking, and he pulls him aside. He's like, every time you talk, you give away our position. It's like, yeah, so do your flashlights. I mean, I get that, like, people can hear you from further away, sure, but it's like, if you've got the lights off because you want to be super stealthy, and I mean, to be fair, neither of us are, you know, military or whatever the hell these guys are, but like, a part of me is just kind of like, okay, yeah, but so if you're trying to hunt something and you're the only thing producing light, then you're not stealthy, you know? Like, if they had night vision goggles, as you pointed out, then that would make sense because they're not producing light, and so then they could hunt whatever it is they're hunting. But even at first, it's, like, unclear as to why, like, what the, like, they're not sure what they're hunting. They're just trying to, like, get, like, the whole plot doesn't make any sense because it's like, okay, so wait, they're they're trying to enforce a quarantine, which they do insanely poorly, get everybody out, sort of.
They're trying to rescue six scientists, contain the data and contain the threat,
right?
Because they, in like in all terrible horror movies where a virus might break out or hell energy might break out, like the heroes can't know what's going on, even if we the audience have that background, like from the games or from other source material, like they can't know, because otherwise they would not do what they do and die in all the hilarious ways that everybody dies and all this stuff. Like, but even as they get additional information, no one really changes anything until like the very, there's one like pivotal conflict right near the end where The Rock is like, no, no, we're not doing this because our job is to just contain the threat. And right now the threat is any infected people, right. Which again, like they're not, Doom is not about zombies.
No.
Like it's about hell.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of zombie terminology and like infected and turning.
Yeah.
And then they just abandon all of that and like, yep. And stop talking about it.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's the thing is that in Doom. And so I could understand to a degree of them being like, oh, we don't actually want to like make it an actual portal to hell because, you know, like, oh, parents will get upset. But it's like, if you already let them play Doom, the game, and this is a Doom movie, what were you, it's like the people who went to Deadpool and they're like, I had no idea it would be so great. It's like, it's rated R. Yeah. It's, you know, like, what did you,
and rated R, and it tells like the MPAA like has, or MPAA has like rated R for these things.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, language and nudity and drug use, and it's like, I didn't know there would be nudity and drug use. And it's like, I mean, it does what it says on the tin, like it's right there. And the thing with the Doom zombie, let's say you're right, because they really are picky with the Christian mythology. Like, there's a couple scenes where they...
We'll get into the Christian mythology because I've got strong opinions about that.
Well, there's a couple scenes where they, like, ham it up a lot, and then they, like, don't talk about it for a while, and then, like, ham it up a little more. But if they'd wanted to do zombies or a zombie like a virus or something, or even if it's just, like, we don't know what the hell is happening. We don't know what the hell is... If they wanted to do that and just not come right out and say that it's hell, it's like, that's totally cool. Maybe don't have all of this stuff supporting that it's zombies and then stop talking about any of that and just never explain it. Like, you can have it unexplained.
Yeah.
You can have it be zombies. You can have it be hell. You can have it be something else or all a combination of these things. But it's not left intentionally vague and it's never explained. So yeah. We're just left confused.
Yes. And confused is like... Because the stakes are super weird, like we're confused as what those are. I don't know if this is the visuals is the correct time to bring this up, but one of the things that we spoke about in another movie is that there's just, this movie is definitely a video game movie because it's got a bunch of like dumb stuff shoehorned in where you're just kind of like, oh God, you're assuming that your exclusive audience is stereotypical 14-year-old boys, like a bad Hollywood writer's attempt at writing a 14-year-old boy. That is who you're marketing this to, because you of course had to have the obligatory naked woman scene.
Yep. Yeah.
Just why?
It's an R-rated movie. They also drop a bunch of random F-bombs that don't seem like, because if someone, you know, sees like something horrible happen and they're like, ah, F-bomb, like that I get, but all of the F-bombs felt like, we can swear because the movie's rated R.
Yep.
And then there's like this one zombie who is not like a mutant, because everyone else who is fully clothed, when they turn into hell zombies, they look hideous, like their skin color changes, their eyes get all freaky, like they're all freaky and gross. But of course, this one woman who for no explained reason is naked, because when she turned, she was not naked.
What one assumes, unless she was like the one person at the office.
No, we know she wasn't, because she was the arm woman.
Right.
So like she, at the beginning of the movie, her arm gets cut off in the door.
Yeah, so we do see her.
Yeah, just dressed in normal clothes. Yeah. Like she, I think she has glasses on, like she, but she's definitely not naked.
Right.
And if her clothes were like, I would, if they wanted to shoehorn boobs in, which they shouldn't,
right,
but like make her shirt torn,
yeah,
you know, or have her clothes be like ragged and falling off from the struggle she had with the monster that bit her and turned her. Like, this is not hard. Like,
no.
You can easily get naked breasts into a movie if that's what you care about. But to have her be literally head to toe naked and not dirty, not bloody, I mean, except for her arm.
Right.
But, like, she is in no way marred. So it's like she got bit. Is this like a hypothermia thing? Like,
yeah,
like she got bit by the monster, has no visible mark of where she was bit, and then went into this locker room and, like, calmly got completely undressed.
And then started writing, like, horrible pretenses on like the wall. Yeah, no, it just, and again, like I said, like, it was just like I saw that and I was like, oh god, come on, like, just can we just for a moment pretend that you're not marketing this to the worst type of prepubescent or pubescent, you know, teenager? It's just kind of like,
yeah, it's bro high fives all the way down.
Yeah,
every line out of almost every marine on the team's mouth is either like sexualizing the lady doctor, she's an archaeologist, scientist, the scientist, yeah, lady, the John, Doom guy's sister.
I don't know, man.
Doom girl.
Yeah. So our archaeology is all like anthropology. I'm not sure if it's really a science, but
she seems to be like a medical doctor an archaeologist and a biologist and a geneticist. Like she's a polyglot.
this movie falls into a thing that many movies do, which is she is generic scientist X, you know,
yes,
like she just has all of these abilities. I mean, like, I'm a chemist. I do not know my way around a demon corpse, you know? And she's just like ripping into the thing, you know? And like doing, she does an autopsy.
Yeah. Liver, kidney.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, even if they just had like a throwaway line of just kind of like, you know, like, cause she, her brother is one of the Marines for reasons. Even if you just said like, you know, like, oh, which, you know, like, oh, so you're an anthropologist now? Like an archaeologist? Like, oh, so you're an archaeologist now? Like, I thought you were going to be a doctor. Like, which doctorate are you working on now? Like something. So they say like, oh, well, you're a super genius and you have like 17 doctorates, and you know, so it's like, oh, is this like the, oh, what was it called? Like she's like a dilettante, you
right,
know, like that, fine, you know, but again, it's just, you know, it's just sloppy. It's just so sloppy. The visuals, it's all sloppy, but yeah, the visuals in particular are not in keeping. They do not make for a good movie, and they are not in service to the brand. So I just don't know why they're like this.
Yeah. And she is almost never in a poorly lit place. She's wearing, you know, a science tank top, because that's what all scientists wear in a genetics lab, is like a thin ribbed tank top that makes sure to show off your bust. Like it's
what I wear.
Absolutely. But I mean,
to be fair, I look great.
There are, oh my God. Are her and the woman who gets her arm cut off, are they the only women in the movie?
Aside from extras, I think so, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's like random other people, but oh my God, there are zero other female characters?
Yeah, no, this definitely fails the Bechdel test. Like,
but I'm just,
I think you're right, though. I think that they're literally the only two women is one who they make entirely nude for some reason, and the other one where almost every character makes allusions to basically wanting to force themselves upon her.
There are other, I mean, they're side characters, but when they first get to the facility, Mars, when they first get to Mars, creepy rapist guy goes up to several female scientists and says, like, you know, oh, ladies, we're under quarantine, so I'm going to have to strip search you. And it's like, so there's the two, I think the two black guys are brothers.
Yeah,
that are on the team, because everybody has to be related, because otherwise we won't care about them, because there's no reason to care about these people.
Right.
So the idea of losing a sibling is like the only stakes. But so the two brothers do very stereotypical, like, trying to be smooth guy, like make some nasty comments about like, oh, she's single, like, oh, hey, yeah, like, how'd you let that fine piece of ass get away from you? She's his sister. Putting it next to the guy who is literally talking about forcing himself on people, it's just like,
well, it normalizes.
Yeah, it's frightening how normal what they are doing and the way they talk to her and about her when she's not even there seems compared to how creepy he is. But they are also creeps.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, like, and you know, we would normally talk about this during story, but I do want to touch on it because you've touched on it yourself, which is that all of the characters save the main one, save Doom Guy, and maybe one of the other ones, the guy who goes toe to toe in the electrified ring, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's one of the, I think he's the older brother.
Yeah. Aside from those two, every single one of them has a horrible personality flaw.
Yes, or litany of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, so you've got like the blonde rapist guy, you've got the other black guy who's supposed to be like, they sell him as like a nice guy, but he's like constantly making the doctor uncomfortable with his advances.
Total creep. Yes.
Yeah. He's just creepy. Like,
he does his job of protecting her, but like, maybe also don't psychologically harass her while you are saving her life.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe just do it because it's the right thing to do, not because she'll owe you something. Anyways. And then they've got the kid who's a drug addict.
Yeah.
Because, and that literally comes up once to no reason. It's that he just gets high. And so, like, maybe they're trying to say, like, well, that's why he would turn evil. But he doesn't turn evil. Like, he's actually sold as a good person at the end.
Yeah. And then dies for it.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so this whole movie, you've been giving me the sloppy, bad people have bad things happen to them, and good people have good things happen to them. And then you introduce the kid of, like, he's new and he's super green and wet behind the ears. And, like, he just needs something to take the edge off, man, because he's, like, really freaked out. But then, oh, at the end, he doesn't want to kill the innocent civilians and he gets shot in the head for it. So, like, see, someone can have flaws but still be a good person. And it's like, is that the message you're going with? Because yeah, all of the other evidence is contrary to that. Because all the bad people have exclusively bad things happen to them, and all the good people have exclusively good things happen to them, except for this one gray character who's not a main character and I don't care about at all.
Yes. And then you've got the one other one is the guy who is super Christian, you know?
Yeah, he's supposed to be like Russian. He's like a Russian Orthodox.
Possibly.
Something.
All I know is that, like, literally, you know, he takes the Lord's name in vain and then starts cutting himself. And it's just kind of like, did we need that? And again, like, all of these, like, horrible personality flaws never come to anything except for weird rapey dude who dies. But they all die, you know? So it's just kind of like, well, did he have to be that awful? I mean, like, yeah, he died while going to the bathroom, which is, like, supposed to, it's sold as hilarious. And actually, you had a good point, which is the guy monitoring him, like, laughs at him dying. And I get that they're like, get it, this guy finally died. But it's like, yeah, he's dying in a pretty horribly visceral way. Like, even if you don't, and again, just the conflating, like, there are people I don't like in my life. If I was watching them be murdered horribly on a video monitor, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I didn't like that guy. It's like, no, that makes you a sociopath.
And he's on the wheelchair guy, I guess it's kind of a wheelchair. Like, he's like attached to like prosthetic wheels.
Yes.
But that guy who, like, I guess manages the facility, he is monitoring them from somewhere. They don't really establish why that room is filled with security cameras, but like,
sure. Yeah.
He's monitoring them and he has just met rapist guy.
Yeah.
And you could not possibly learn enough hate for someone that watching them die that way wouldn't incite an empathetic reaction in you.
Right.
Because you would have to be a sociopath.
Like, yes.
He must have no basic humanity to be like, hey, because I mean, that's literally, he like chortles.
Yeah. He's like, that guy, he's dead. And it's like, So again, just, and because of all of that sort of stuff, I think that would work a lot better if the game was more like Doom with just like complete over the top insanity, you know? Because then it's just like, oh, this is just like an over the top, like insane action fest, you know? And so that you can do, you know. But then the fact they're selling it as like a gritty, realistic horror, that's atonal to it. So then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait. And so the problem is I don't know how to feel, you know. Like, so it's like, oh, okay, so that was supposed to be funny. So these people dying is funny, but wait, this one's super serious. And then The Rock, so we're just going straight in plot.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to try and give this a fair dissection.
Yeah. No, so for some reason, the Rock makes this bizarre character shift from being like the calm, controlled squad leader to a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, and that's before he gets infected.
Yep.
Because I remember, because you said like, oh yeah, he gets infected and then turns evil. And then like we were watching, you're like, I was wrong. Yeah. Apparently he just turns into a complete dick and then gets evilized or whatever.
And if they had, again, like all it would have taken is like, you know, the kid, maybe the kid dies and he felt super responsible for it. And he's like, these demons, the zombies, whatever. Like, they killed the kid. Like, we cannot let this threat out at any cost. And, like, that's his, like, breaking moment.
Right.
Like, he loses someone in the field he felt personally responsible for. And now he's, like, killing all of these innocent, probably not even infected people is justified because under no circumstances can we allow the threat to escape this facility.
Right.
But that's not what happens.
Nope.
What happens is he... Or you know what they could have done? They wouldn't have had to change anything. They could have inserted a single scene or a single line of dialogue where you found out that The Rock personally was on the payroll of the evil corporation.
That, yeah, because right. That would have just been like, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's why he's willing to go to these ultra extreme measures, because he personally stands to profit. In fact, they even started to set that up, because in the scene where you think he dies, where he gets dragged through the nano wall, which mm-hmm. was kind of a neat effect,
yeah.
But like where he gets dragged through the nano wall, he says almost directly to camera, because yeah. They framed it that way on purpose, I'm not supposed to die.
Right.
Which then like 2 seconds later, they could have found out like, oh, he, you know, he could have dropped a signet ring of the evil corporation's logo, or they could have found, you know, a credit transfer chip that's like money that was supposed to go into his account.
Ooh,
anything to just set up why he suddenly becomes a murdering psychopath and kills the kid and kills all these innocent civilians and goes totally bananas. Like, but they didn't even bother. They're just like, we need him to kill all these extras for funsies.
Yeah, and actually, I like your idea, but like, sorry, because I want to think for a moment about a better movie, which is, in this case, the movie that we're just talking, like the movie
that we're now making up.
Yeah, but no, like he should be on the payroll of like a competitor corporation. And ooh. So then like he could be the person who like you find out is like kind of is why this gets so far out of hand, is because he's inciting problems, and it's just kind of like, you know, where did so-and-so go? It's like, I don't know, I lost him. And you know, so yeah, because then all, and especially when he, that would fit really well with the lineup, I'm not supposed to die,
right?
All you are.
Yeah, y'all, all y'all.
Yeah, all y'all supposed to die. And that would even go well with like him being so single-mindedly focused on retrieving the data, because that's what he's there for. Retrieve the data, everybody dies.
Yes. Yeah. Which they set up as he's there to retrieve the data, and he's, because they show at the beginning, they make a small concession to gender fairness, where you see The Rock topless because he's, you know, super jacked out, and he has a bit, but really what they're showing you is not that he's super jacked out. It's he has a giant Semper Fi tattoo
right
on his back, which is supposed to be all of the information you need to be like, oh, he's a hardcore Marine. Like every Marine isn't hardcore. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
Like, but then we are supposed to extrapolate like, oh, he's going to follow the mission at any cost. And like his orders are his orders, but that's not what we get. He, at the beginning, he's like super reasonable, and he's like, yeah, we need to save these people. We need to get this data out. We need to prevent the threat from getting out. That is what we're here to do. And then his pivot to, we need to save this data at any human cost. No human cost is so high that we can't save the data. It's like, when and why did that become your number one priority?
Well, and it's actually a distinct character shift, because again, the movie's not even okay with its internal logic, because when we first meet brother's sister, whatever, the
Doom Girl.
Doom Girl, sure. No, I like that. Doom Girl. When we first meet Doom Girl, she, you know, like Doom Guy says, you know, like, we're not here for your whatever data.
Your science project.
Yeah, for your science project. And she's like, you should check that with your CEO. And The Rock looks uncomfortable with the idea that collecting the data is part of the mission.
Yeah, because there are so many innocent people that are, like, on death's door.
Yeah, so he's just kind of like, yeah, we're here to contain and help these people and get the data. And then, like, towards the end, he's like, the data is all that matters. And it's like, whoa, you personally did not seem that. And again, all before he's infected.
Right.
So while we're talking about this, I have to talk about, because the movie, again, with any science fiction, with any fiction, right, you set up your own universe, right? And the only thing that's important is that you stay consistent to you.
Yes,
right?
You write the rules so they can be whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. They just have to be consistent. And so the fact that it's internally inconsistent is frustrating. And I know that I really shouldn't be looking for a message in these movies. But that being said, they go out of their way to produce one and then put it, so again, like, it's like hell. So they have a bunch of, like, Christian references and Christian, you know, like, and they're all ham-handed and stupid, you know, like, at one point he's like, Genesis chapter one. And it's like, if I remember correctly, chapter one of Genesis is God created the heavens and the earth, which you're not doing.
Nope.
It's not until like a couple of verses in until you actually get to, and then God created man.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah. So that's all stupid. But the thing is, then eventually they say that there is an evil gene, right?
Yes.
And remember, like I think we paused it. I was like, no, this is...
You're like, wait.
Yeah, no, this is upsetting, which means that you are literally born evil.
Yes.
Right? Which is in direct conflict with the Christian mythology of free will, right? So, like, the whole thing is this, like, oh, well, you know, like, with Christianity and all the Christian, you know, themes that they're evoking... are, you know, like, Christian, it's about free will. I mean, like, literally, God gave man free will, and we immediately screwed it up. But, like, that's kind of the point. And then to say, like, but you're born evil, it's like, then God's a huge dick.
Yeah.
Why would you literally, because then there is no freedom of choice. You were just born evil. So then why would you put, why would they go to hell? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, it creates a very weird striation of, like, oh, they found this evil gene, and now we, the humans, are trying to use this discovery to make super soldiers. They show the video of the condemned prisoner. I'm actually not really clear on what they were trying to do with this discovery.
Science.
Okay. Yeah. So they learned about this science, and they were like, we would also like to science with this science.
Yep.
And the result of that science was some people are born evil, which is why when... all of those people get bit or tongued or whatever, they turn into, like, violent psychopaths, and some of them turn into gigantic, horrible monsters, because the implication is the eviler you are, the more of a monster.
Which means the wheelchair guy was, like, the biggest monster of all.
Huge
because he
monster.
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he did. Like, I don't know what horrible things were on his hard drive, but, like, he's clearly the, like he's the secret villain. Like, he turns into a bigger monster than The Rock does.
Yeah, and The Rock, I guess, is, like, evilish, because he just turns into a super-powered The Rock. Like, he, and I mean, I get it, like, he's a face character. Like,
well, and also I think that he's, like, turning, you know, like, we don't get to see full-blown...
Before he dies.
I mean, we couldn't handle it.
No.
Like, it'd just be...
too much Rock.
It's too much The Rock.
The boulder. But he didn't appear to be turning into... Because, I mean, the wheelchair guy turns into, like, a horrible, like, slug monster with his prosthetic limb, his prosthesis,
yeah.
Like, dangling off of him. And it's very, like... It's very doomy. Like, there's a monster like that in Doom and in the newer ones. And, like, it's very, like, scary. But everybody else just looks like a zombie.
Yep.
They're, like, kind of messed up, but they still basically look like humans. And then you see a handful of, like, greater demons who are, like, humanoid, but, like, bigger and more horrifying. Like, in the cage match, the brother there fights one of them, you know, like a big scary monster. But, yeah, like, you know, you can't cover up that sweet, sweet Rock face. Like, that's what everybody's here for.
I mean, that's what I was there for. And, yeah, and I mean, like, this movie has no idea what it wants to be. And honestly, like, I would have just even signed up for, like, to juxtapose it to, like, Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat was pretty much fan service the movie, right? That's what we wanted in Doom, you know?
And we got it for, like, four sweet, sweet minutes.
Exactly. Four sweet, sweet minutes at the end. But, like, I remember, like, we were discussing, like, so many other just easy fan service things. Because the thing is, Doom is ridiculous and over the top. So if they made this ridiculous and over the top, they can get away with so many more things where you're like, oh, it's the thing I wanted. Like, we said that, you know, like, when he wakes up and, like, is Doom Guy, like, what if, you know, like, the explosion that incapacitated him, like, had some kind of, like, green goo or paint, so he, like, wakes up and he's, like, kind of half covered in green armor, like, everybody would have been like, ha, because it's, like, Doom Guy, you know, and you would have gotten a kick out of it. Or if it's just kind of like, for example, like, they're like, well, we started doing these experiments on humans or whatever, because it actually, one of the things that it causes is, like, a strong electrical the ability to have a strong electrical discharge in your extremities. You mean they can shoot fireballs, basically?
Yeah.
You know, and it would be like, ha!
Yeah, so easy.
Yeah, just, yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, we're doing it right now.
I mean, and you can see and hear parts where they, like, someone on the crew must have been like, hey, when this first door in the movie opens, it should make the Doom door noise. Like, that'd be neat. And you're like, oh, neat. And then later in the movie, they go out of their way to talk about their crazy doors because they have the nano walls.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, I don't think nano walls were in the older Doom game. I mean, they're definitely not. They might have been in the Doom 3. But here is a perfect excuse to use a weird door noise. Mm-hmm. Every time the nano wall turns on and off, it should make the Doom door noise.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't have to be loud. You don't have to, you know, shove it down my ear holes, but... But, like, there you go. Like, it turns on and off a handful of times. Make it make the Doom door noise a handful of times. And everyone will go, like, every time it does it. Like, they show the Bioforce gun, right? The BFG 9000.
Yes.
Which, in the official Doom instruction manual, because John Romero, is that his name? The guy who's, like, behind Doom. Like, he was, like, a huge dork. Mm-hmm. And he, in the official instruction manual, calls it the big fucking gun.
Yes.
And... they obviously aren't going to label it that way in the movie, so they give you the fan service because when The Rock picks it up, he looks at it and goes, big fucking gun.
Yep.
And it's like, yes, that! Just give me 90 minutes of those moments!
Yeah, just little stuff like that. I mean, like, for example, how many times, like you said, like, they open that nano wall door, like, 50 times, right? But you find, like, it's like a keypad code, right? Maybe a little yellow key, you know? Like, just that she wears around her neck. And then, like, maybe at one point when they're like, we have to get to this other place to shut it down. And it's like, I don't have access for that. It's like, only so-and-so does. And he's, you know, went missing there. And then, like, they get him and maybe it's like a blue key card because, like, they've got higher level clearance or something, you know?
Easy. Lazy. Like, not hard.
I mean, that's the thing. Is that, like, this movie is so lazy, but it's lazy in the wrong direction. It's like, no, be lazy. Like, I mean, nobody was expecting a huge think piece, you know? I mean,
crib the source material. That's why you make a movie based on source material.
Yeah.
So you can steal from the source material.
Yeah, that everybody's there because we want to... And, okay, so then, like, and so to talk a little bit more about the plot and all of these different... The just sheer amount of time they waste building out backstories for characters that we don't care about because they're not Doom Guy. And again, like, Doom Guy is Doom Guy. He has no backstory. He's silent protagonist, you know? So it's like, why did you create a movie where the protagonist from the video game is silent? The source material has a silent protagonist because it doesn't matter. And then you literally made, like, seven characters and gave them all, like, incredibly intricate backstories. Yeah. Why?
Incredibly intricate, stupid, and inconsistent backstories.
Yeah, because, like, the super religious dude, he, you know, like gets infected and then kills himself because it's like, he knew that he was turning.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's like, who cares? Like, literally that entire character lifts out, you know?
Yeah.
Because they already had enough information. And I think that even it would have been a better reveal because she says, like, you know, when he's like, where's this one doctor? And she's like, he's over there because that particular zombie was, like, missing an ear.
Yeah, he had ripped his own ear off while he was going crazy.
Right. And then that particular zombie was missing. That's a better reveal than having this one. So, like, that entire character lifts out, you know? I mean, basically, this could have been, like, a squad of four people, and you would have got, because you have a Doom Guy, The Rock, the innocent kid who has to die, and then, like, one other character, you know, to just kind of round out the team. It's just, and also, too, one just the thing that we both got frustrated about a number of times, which is, like, at some point, the answer isn't, we're going to complete the mission. The answer is, this mission is beyond the scope of what we initially thought it was. We need assistance or backup or whatever.
Yes.
You know? Like, not just throwing good money after bad, you know?
Well, in again, inconsistent motivations for The Rock, because when he realizes, like, oh, we're fighting, like, demons from hell or zombies or something, like, this is outside the scope of what six guys were prepared for, yep. No matter how rapey one of them is.
Like, exactly.
We
need
to
bring all of his rapiness to bear, yeah, and yet not be...
It's not going to stop the hell problem. So you would think, when he says, like, we need to get these people out of here, and we... Because he even says, like, this mission is now keeping whatever is happening here from going through the Ark.
Right.
Which is another, like, totally confusing and pointless plot device they throw in there. Like, oh, we have this instantaneous travel between these two places, and also it hurt this one guy, and that's why he has this prosthetic wheelchair legs. And it's like, do I need to know that? Do I care about that? Like, he can just be sitting in a chair because he's not a Marine. Like, did I really need to see, every time somebody goes through the Ark, they vomit because it's so intense. Like, there can just be a teleporter that's perfectly functioning and doesn't make people vomit and doesn't cut your butt off. Like, it doesn't need to be, like, risky and scary. I just need to know that the demons have a way to get back to Earth, and we want to stop that.
Well, and especially because the risky scariness of it is never advances the plot.
It's just to show why the guy's in a wheelchair. But he didn't need to be in a wheelchair.
No. Or, I mean, even if he was, you don't need a... I mean, like... Yeah.
He's just in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he's just in a wheelchair. Just a dude in a wheelchair,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't need to know that the black guy's parents were both black, and that's why he grew up black. Like, I assume that.
Yeah.
I assume there's a reason he's black, and I assume that the guy in a wheelchair is in the wheelchair for a reason. I don't need to know why he's in a wheelchair. Yeah. And it never matters, because the reason they leave him behind, which he intonates several times, is, I'm not a soldier. I'm not a soldier.
Right.
If he said, like, I can't help you, I'm in a wheelchair. Like, okay, then yes, he's using his handicap as an excuse to be a coward, but he doesn't. He wears being a coward super proud.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And also too, like, I would have even preferred for it to just be like a running joke to be like, you know, hey, how'd you get in that wheelchair? It's like, I don't want to talk about it. You know, like,
totally.
Like, yeah. That would have been kind of funny, you know, especially, like especially if at the last minute, like, you want to know how I got these scars? Like, you know, like just, yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, the teleportation process being risky is, it never moves the plot in any direction, you know?
In fact, every time they need to rely on the teleportation, works perfectly.
Yeah.
It does not flub once.
It's even when The Rock is being pulled into it, like, in situ, like, when, like, in the final fight, which I totally thought the point wasn't for him to teleport him away. The point was for him to half teleport him.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was going to go. Is that, like, he's going to teleport his bottom half away, because that's what the whole setup was for. You know, like we've seen that it does that specific thing.
Yeah.
Literally will teleport your butt somewhere that the rest of you doesn't go. His lower half is through the teleporter. The teleporter's going to cut off. He's going to go down. We're done here. And then that didn't happen. And I was just like, what? Why?
No. And in fact, what they do with the teleporter to kill The Rock literally could have just been a door.
Yes.
Because The Rock is now on the other side of a barrier. It happens to be the Ark. And then Doom Guy throws a grenade through the Ark, and it explodes and kills The Rock.
Yeah.
So it could have just been any barrier. It could have been a chest-high wall from Uncharted, like, that the heroes ducked behind so that they weren't hurt in the blast. Like, all they needed to do was have The Rock be affected by the grenade and them not be affected by the grenade. And the fact that they make a point to explain this is a thing that can cut you in half, and then they don't cut him in half, even though they set up cutting him in half, is infuriating, because it's not an intentional subversion. I think... literally, they just didn't, it didn't occur to them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to have The Rock, like, being sucked into the Ark, and he's going to be, like, half in it. And somebody in the room was like, and it's going to cut him in half. And he's going to, like, that's how they're going to beat him. Like, cause, like, the way we set it up in the beginning, and they're like, oh, no. Oh, crap. We just filmed that scene. Like, Doom Guy throws a grenade through the Ark. It makes no sense. Oh, crap.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally.
We already sent everybody home for the day. We can't reshoot it.
like they said that in the boardroom. It's like, oh, yeah, it's going to cut him in half, right? And it's just kind of like, huh. No, that would have been pretty good. Oh, well, what was your idea? Well, no, I don't want to say.
It made it in the movie, didn't it? It did make it into the movie.
It's already done.
It's kind of the final scene.
And so one of the things that you mentioned they show, and I don't remember seeing it, but at that point I just started to get frustrated, which is there's the thing that cuts through that foot thick iron containment door,
which I don't believe they ever show.
Okay, just making sure, because I was like, okay, because I have follow-up questions. One is, holy crap, what in the world do they have on hand that can cut through, like, steel that thick?
Yeah. And I mean, there's implications about the kind of device that does the cutting, because it is a clean Triforce-shaped cut. It's, like, weirdly triangular.
Yeah.
But it's a clean cut. It's not... It doesn't appear to be melted. Yep. There aren't burns. It looks like the piece just lifted away, like you might cut out the center of a cake.
Yes. Yeah. So I was just gonna. So I don't know, A, what tool can do that, but it's science fiction. Okay. B, who's doing that? Because they're all mindless zombies.
Well, and this is another thing that's wildly inconsistent is when they, and I like that they started to go down this path and then they totally give up on it. Like, they gave up on everything.
Yep.
It's just it's a movie of quitters. But they, when they get to, I think when they go back through the arc, so they're in the Earth side of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a door that was locked and now has been unlocked. And the implication is that it's been done by one of the monsters. And I think the kid says, like, they're unlocking doors now. And the younger brother of the two Marine brothers says, he looks at him and he goes, well, they're rocket scientists. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
So they're not mindless zombies. Like, they're now super brilliant, super powerful, like, hell demons. Like, cool. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to chase people down hallways while they scream.
And eat them. Yeah. And it's like, oh. Yeah, no, so, okay, so... Yeah, so apparently they're whatever the plot needs them to be. But okay, so apparently these zombies got the super cutter and mindfully used it to get to an area that they would have to still be sentient to know that they need to get there.
Yeah. And there aren't any zombies in that area, I think. So they cut the hole in the door and then, like, not use it?
And then, like, kind of shuffled off. Yeah. So all of that being said, I would like to know why. Okay, so first of all, I have to assume that this magic tool, whatever it is, like, somewhat unique, because if they were ubiquitous, they'd be used regularly. Like, we would have actually seen it.
They'd be about.
Yeah. So why would this super powerful, high-grade, steel-cutting laser, I assume, why is that kept near the containment door?
Yeah.
Like, why
is this
a shitty, like, lock? Like you got a lock and the key right next to it. Like,
is this like a fire axe? Like, next to, like, you put it like in the Prestige. Like, he keeps the fire axe, like, right next to the dunk tank.
Oh yeah,
in case he has to go and, like, smash it open. So it's like, oh, we need this foot thick, let's say, stainless steel containment door. But in case we need to get through it, right next to it on the wall is the magic foot steel cutting laser.
Right. And so then you can make the argument, is like, oh, well, you know, they put it there, and like you said, like, in case they need to use it. But then what threat are they imagining generally containing? Because
that wouldn't be smart enough to use the laser thing.
Yeah. So it's like, what? Why? And so then, looking at it from a narrative standpoint, like, just like with the wheelchair, just like with the teleporter, which could have just been a door, the wheelchair, which didn't need to exist, like, that makes the door pointless.
Yes.
Right? Like, if all the door does is, or at least it doesn't need to be a huge, thick containment door. It could just be a normal door, you know? And, like, and even if they wanted to, this is so dumb, like, they could have just been like, you know, if they wanted to explain it, because they want to have that moment of, like, the thing hitting against the door, or, you know, whatever.
They show another containment door get ripped open.
Yeah.
So they establish that doors in this universe don't protect you from anything.
Right. But this one in particular is, like, this huge containment door. So, like, what if, you know, like literally, and it would be great because it would, like, build tension, is when they walk through the door the first time, it's not this huge vault door, but, like, a normal-ish door, right? And they go, like, this is the containment door? And they're like, corporation cutting costs, you know?
Something.
Just like a throwaway line, that way you could be like, oh no, it is their folly that beset them, you know? But, like, instead it's just, you know, oh, well, there's this huge door and they're able to laser cut through it. I mean, it's just so sloppy.
And I don't think it matters. It's not like, even with the foot-thick containment door, we still weren't safe. I don't remember anything happening after there was a hole in the door, except the heroes just using it to pass back and forth between those two rooms, which they could have done anyway because they had the power to open the door.
Yeah.
So like, I don't actually know what the point of showing that that door was fallible. Like, again, is this a horror movie? Was this supposed to just create a general sense of unease that like doors like nano wall doors and foot thick stainless steel containment doors, nothing can protect you from.
I think that the main purpose of showing that the door was destroyed was to show that containment was breached, is I think like what they were going for. But again, we know that. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, you know, like, it's something that happens, like, off-screen, you know? And again, you know, how does this movie spend its time? It spends its time pontificating greatly on characters we don't care about, as opposed to, like, the most important thing of the movie is the containment. So that failing happens off-screen.
Yeah.
Like, the most important thing in the movie happens off-screen.
Yeah, what's that, the rule of writing, like...
Show, don't tell.
Well, yes, but it's something like, is the story you're telling about your character the most interesting story of their life? If not, why aren't you telling that story?
Yeah,
so it's like, interesting. So if the whole movie is ostensibly about containing this threat, because we as the audience and the characters that we're supposed to be identifying with don't want hell, zombies, magic, whatever, unicorns to leak into our world... And so containment is super important. It's what the Marines are there for. It's what the scientists want. It is generally what all the people whose motives we are supposed to agree with want. And then the one time that is like no question failed, like we don't see it and nobody cares.
Yeah.
None of the characters like seem to care.
No, because they're still busy like murder housing people, I guess, you know. I will give the movie one prop. I mean, it's not really a problem. It's just something that was like when they happened, we were like, yes, which is they absolutely start shooting dead bodies, which because I remember both of us getting like really excited because like, you know, like there was like a guy laying on the floor and the Marine walked up to him and just put two bullets in him because why not?
Yeah. There's even a thoughtful line of dialogue about it. Make sure those dead scientists stay dead.
Yep.
Or are really dead or something. But it's like. They do a thoughtful thing that those characters would do. Yeah. We're here to contain the threat. We now know that a feature of the threat is rising from the dead because we saw it happen to one of our own Marines and we've seen all these other horrible things. So, like, we're going to be good at our job, which we are supposedly good at our job.
Yeah, because there's some super special Marine, special force, special...
I was super maybe there's a throwaway line of dialogue in the beginning of the movie that we were too busy like laughing over, but for me to hear it. But I was not super clear on how. So they are Marines,
yes,
but they have been hired by a private corporation. Like the government didn't send them in. A private corporation has hired a military body, a U.S. government military body, to go into ostensibly international waters on Mars.
Yes,
and commit military action. Like it's,
yep.
Who approved that? Like, well, who rubber stamped that before they went on vacation?
So I think that, and I may be wrong, is it looks like they are and I think you may have mentioned it, like a special security team, you know? So like, they may be like a group of ex-Marines, you know?
Okay. So they're now,
private sector. So anyway, so let's assume that, right? So then they're hired to go deal with this thing by a super evil corporation. That's all fine. But then, like, they are part of a greater organization. Like, they are not like, The Rock is not a sole proprietor, you know? Like, he's not a small businessman who's pulled together a ragtag group of Marines.
Yeah.
You know, like, they are part of a greater unit because their leave gets canceled. You know,
I want you to finish. I just came so close to interrupting you because of something that disgusted me in this opening scene, but I want to let you finish.
Fair enough. So because we don't know what the stakes are, right? Like if they had said, you know, hey, we're the only like, our organization shuts down this time of year. We're the only people available. Then I'd be like, oh, OK. Like, but the thing is, because we don't know what organization they're part of, I'm just like, go get help. Go get help. Why aren't you getting help? Which makes me think that they're dumb, you know? Not that the resource isn't available because they've set up a world where the resource should be available and never gave us a reason why it's not available. And even just something like...
They even radio... Well, the rapist guy, he goes to the toilet. The reason he dies in the toilet is because he says he has to go to the bathroom so that he can radio for help, which he radios for help from an underground facility on Mars with like his walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Yeah, no, because...
And we learn nothing about the larger organization or if people are coming or if they're like, no, you're on your own, or like, this is an off-the-books operation. Like, we learn nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, even if... Because, again, like, they don't... Because I don't know what the stakes are, and I don't know really, of course, because of all the rapiness, who to root for. But, I mean, like, even if they had just said, you know, like if it's supposed to be because of their own poor decisions, they are in a bad situation, which would be in line with the Christian mythology, although out of line with the
predeterminism genetics.
Yeah, the hard determinism philosophy, but whatever. But where, if they had done something where they were just kind of like, you know, like, hey, instead of like leaves canceled, because they have no agency there. They were sent to do a thing.
Right.
If the thing says like, hey, I know everybody's looking to go on leave, but, you know, there's an off-the-books job that like needs to be done, and we're going to get paid triple for it.
Right.
Because then that would go in with the corporate greed theme.
Consistent motivations. Yep. Understand why the Rock loses his mind.
Yep, exactly. You know, like all of that would like hold up. But instead, it's like they are sent somewhere, which is actually very dutiful, which is a virtue.
Yeah.
You know, greed being a vice and one of seven somethings.
Something, something.
would be a good reason for them to be punished for it. But instead, they're punished for something that's outside of their control.
Yes. And again, like we're told through, I mean, we're shown that like some of them are kind of bad people, or they have these like non-admirable qualities, but like the rapist guy, he definitely deserves to die horribly.
Yeah.
If you are going to be simplistic about like bad person deserves punishment.
Right.
But like the guy who's just like kind of a creep, and like the guy who's like a little bit of a sadomasochist because he has like the wrong sort of super deep devotion to his religion, like do they deserve to die horribly? Like I'm not... What is the message about morals here? Oh,
yeah.
Wait, there isn't one.
No.
So here's what I almost just like super talked over you for.
Sweet.
Right in the beginning, and I actually, I wrote this down in my notes, and the more I think about it, the more angry I am. In the opening scene, by which I'm counting like the whole them getting to the arc room. So like the characters are introduced like in their bunk, which they're going on leave, but they clearly live like in that facility because there's like personal effects and things everywhere. But they're in like their barracks, whatever, and they're establishing like who these people are. They're kind of talking to each other, talking about their leave, being creepy rapists.
Sure.
And then Sarge comes down and he's like, we're out. And then they get on the helicopter and it takes them to where the arc is. And there is a scene when they get onto the helicopter where they each grab their weapon and they put their hand on the stock and it goes like, you know, ID, George Witt.
Yep.
ID, David Lyons. And it like, you're like, oh, okay. Because later there's going to be a scene where Doom Guy lost his gun.
Right.
And he needs to use Sarge's gun to defend himself, but can't.
Right.
And he's going to have to like improvise a weapon. And that's why this scene is happening.
Yep.
Because otherwise, this doesn't matter, and I don't care about it. And guess what? It doesn't matter, and you shouldn't care about it. It is literally the scene they use to tell you the characters' names. I'm like, wait a minute. They just sat in this room and talked to each other for like 4 minutes. At no point could you have written a line of dialogue where some of the names were spoken aloud, and then when they go into the helicopter, the other two or three names that hadn't been spoken aloud in the previous scene could have been spoken aloud. You had to have talking thumbprint ID guns.
Yep.
That never ever matter. No one ever mentions it again. People pick up other guns because in the facility there are guns lying around. Everyone has a sidearm that doesn't seem to be ID'd. In fact, no, I take it back, because not only do they pointlessly set this up, but they then go against their own logic, because when the older brother Marine had the like a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Because it's Doom, you gotta have a random Gatling gun.
Sure.
Like, haha, fan service, except you suck at it.
Yep.
And then someone else picks it up and uses it.
Yep.
Which establishes that the IDs don't do anything. They're not locked like the computer said they are. Like,
yeah.
Why did you set this up just to break it when there were no stakes?
Well, especially because no, all that's true. And worst case scenario, the minigun is not bio locked, which is that's the one you need bio locked.
Yeah.
Right? Like only somebody like that. You shouldn't be throwing around miniguns all willy nilly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it is again, like it's like introduce all of their nicknames, which again, Doom Guy. These guys don't need names, yeah. You know, like none of them do.
These guys should not be in the movie.
No,
it should be Doom Guy, I mean, they wanted The Rock. So maybe The Rock is private security that works there. And so Doom Guy goes to the facility and then he has to work with The Rock. And that's why The Rock is so motivated to save the data, because he's literally on the company's payroll.
Yep.
And then Doom Guy is like, yeah, I don't care about protecting this data. I care about protecting my sister, Doom Girl, and about these civilians and the people who work in this facility and not letting hell leak out onto to Earth, right? Like, then they could have some interesting backstories, because there's a small number of people that I have to care about and understand their motivations. Like,
yep.
Okay, yeah. So I want to do two things. I want to briefly talk about the music,
mm-hmm.
and then I think we should bring our stress levels back down by rapping, talking about the one true scene. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
So, I mean, do you have any other?
No, the only...
Because, I mean, we could complain forever.
Yeah. The one other just note that I had, which I thought was very interesting, is the opening Universal logo.
I really liked.
It was like the... It was like you watch that and then it's 90 minutes of schlock and then the end, you know, but basically I was like, oh, that's really neat, which is that the Universal logo, which, you know, normally pans across Earth, pans across Mars. And I was like, and it's red, you know, so it kind of sets like an eerie visual theme. I was like, that was pretty neat. And then it immediately jumps into opening title screen narration, which is never a good sign.
The high point of a movie should not be the production company logo. That's not good.
Nope, not a great sign. But anyways.
Yeah, so the thing I just want to say about the music is whoever did the music or had responsibility for the music understood Doom and that this movie is not a horror movie, because there isn't a ton of music in this movie, and when it does come up, it's like driving 90s rock music, right?
Yeah.
It's like heavy, fast guitar, like, you know, doom music.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be like empowering. And the thing that is so sad about it is several times that music is played, it's during like a shootout, but like a horror shootout where like the visuals are all dark and muddy and the heroes can't see what they're shooting at. And it's like scary and threatening. And it's very like Xenomorph from Aliens. Like, I don't know where the monster is. I'm just blindly firing into the dark because we don't know how to use a light switch. Like it's, but you have this like heavy rock music over it. And it's like, wait, how am I supposed to be feeling? Because the visuals without this music would be like, you should be terrified.
Right.
There is an unknown threat of unknown quantity and severity about you.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what's going to happen? You might get your head ripped off. You might die on the toilet. Like, anything could go wrong. But the music is like, we're in control. Like, we're the badass space marines here to, you know, kick ass and chew bubble gum. But I'm all out of Duke Nukem references. And
it's true.
It's really bizarre to me. It's such a bummer, but the one place or the one time that the music does get to shine is in that precious, precious scene.
Yes.
Right at the end of the movie,
which is
the second to last major scene, I guess.
Yes. Which is, and actually one thing to touch on music, not with the movie, but with the 2016 Doom game that I thought was really fascinating is, the guy who did that music put an incredible amount of care into it. And like, I was just like reading this thing about like all this different stuff. Like he actually got like old sound equipment to make it sound like the original Doom.
Yes.
But one of my favorite ones is that he actually, the tone that he used as like the bass tone was a chainsaw running.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So like that vroom like that. He just didn't like, I guess, whatever, you know, like
modulated it.
Yeah. But that's why it has like that weird gritty sound. And so this reminded me of a little bit of that, where it's just kind of like, no, they put a lot of time, energy, and love into the music. It just got attached to terrible plot and terrible visuals.
Well, and Doom has a like a storied history of its music, because John Romero is like, he's a weird dude, and he made some really amazing games with a lot of help from very talented people. But one of the things that he or whoever was responsible for the music did in, I think, Doom 2 is like, if you do, and I'm going to butcher this terminology, I'm not enough of an audio engineer, but if you do like a spectral visualization of the music, there's like 666 in one of the songs, and another one I think has like pentagrams in it over and over, and it's like, you have to write music that when it is visualized will create this picture. Yep. Like that's incredibly thoughtful and clever Easter eggs. It's like maybe some of those clever, thoughtful people should have worked on this movie.
Yeah, any of them. But the final visual scene is just like with the first person shooter.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the fight with The Rock. Because that scene is an okay kung fu scene, but that's what Doom is about.
That scene is just I didn't want it to end, you know? Like, it's just, it's so awesome. It's perfectly video gamey, you know, because, like, there's literally, like people duck out from behind cover and go like, roar,
yeah,
you know?
Blam, blam, blam. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's, like, you know, like, the high-tension scene of, like, trying to reload, you know, like, while the thing's coming at you. But it's, like, stuntedly coming at you, you know? One of the demons is wielding a chainsaw, which is hilariously over the top, and then he jumps over that person to then shoot them from behind, which is just ridiculous and over the top. And you're like, this is what I wanted. This is what I came here for.
And I think they honestly could have, I mean, I think a 90 minute movie of first person Doom guy would be weird, like to the point of not enjoyable. Yeah. But if they had done better, a little bit better setup, not, it doesn't have to be Citizen Kane. Just like, don't write a bunch of stupid rules and break all your stupid rules in stupid ways. Like, please, just script writing 101, right? Yep. Fewer characters. Maybe I'm going to go with 0% rapiness. Like, no, I don't need any of that. I don't need the topless woman. I don't need topless Rock. Like, I get it. She was attractive. He's attractive. Like, that's, just leave all that out.
That's right? Just pornography.
Just give me a little bit of setup about why Doom Guy is there. Why the Rock is the villain, because you want your face character. I get it, right? It's a movie. And then give me 20 minutes of first-person nonsense, and then the fight with the Rock, and then movie over.
And roll credits.
Which is close to what they do, except there's 90 minutes of weird setup with rapey characters that I don't care about, and inconsistent rules, and all this nonsense. Like, if you could literally start that movie at like the 95 minute mark.
Keep it a lean 90 minutes and everybody goes home happy.
Yep.
Yep. So I guess, you know, question.
No.
there are no questions. No. So I would actually argue. Okay. So no, it didn't hold up, obviously. Like no, do not go see this movie. But the weird thing is, I remember as a 12-year-old or 14 or however old I was.
No. 2005, sir.
Yeah, that's right. I keep wanting to believe. Yeah,
you were way older, and this is way more recent.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer. but no, I remember back when this came out, maybe thinking, like, that wasn't very good. So it's worse than you remember it, but it was always bad. Like, I remember it being bad. Like, I remember when it came out, I was like, this isn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, the one and only way, if you remember seeing this movie and enjoying it, because I was like, the reason I wanted Doom to win the vote off was I was like, I kind of just want an excuse to rewatch Doom.
Sure.
Right. And then I realized when we were done that the right way to rewatch Doom is to find the first person scene on YouTube.
Yep.
And just watch that.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
The curtain falls. The music plays. The credits roll. Then it all fades to black. And you're left by yourself. The fanfare is gone. There's no player two there by your side to share victories won. But as you slowly progress down the hall to your bed, a few great events leak back into your head. From the time that you spent traversing the land, battling evil, fighting the darkness, just sword in hand. Your memories creeping with the edge of a smile. You realize again what you've lost for a while. You're gonna think back much less on how you saved the day than on all the experience gained.
The ride.
if given the choice of watching Doom or going to hell, I say go to hell.
Proud of yourself.
I am.